Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. Make me a Tower of Love Part 3. For the sake of others, welcome to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Hey, I've been waiting to see these numbers rise week by week by week, and I want to thank all you listeners, all of you that are calling in. As you know, we've had our illustrious Pastor Dr. Levin Colonel Chief, he has so many titles, Colonel Harrison. He has been with us. Colonel, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience. Great to be with you again. Hope all is well on the West Coast.
Well, you know what? It's trying to get that way. We've had a lot of issues here, but, hey, for some reason, the sun always comes out. and almost can see the shining suit. So we're doing okay here. We all still alive.
Yes,
we're okay. Thank you so much, the doctor, Colonel. You know, you got all these titles. I don't know what I'm going to call you, but our subject is Make Me a Tower of Love, Part 3, for the sake of others. You know, there's a holy book that says love never fails. There's psychiatrists, psychologists that are saying, you know, all you need is love. The Beatles made millions of dollars on a show song. It was really a show song, not just a lyrical song, saying all we need is love. And many people, even in the songs we hear on various radio stations, and we know love is something that you really can't touch. You really can't hug love, but you can wrap in love, because there's a holy book again that says, hey, we're made out of love. We're made by love. Make Me a Tower of Love, Part 3 is an extenuation of Part 1 and Part 2, because we can't get enough of talking about love. And we see the world is in tears right now. We see every day that nation is saying that there are high suicide rates, high unemployment, escalating hatred, and deterioration of family life. Wow, my goodness, is this a life that is worth living? Many are saying, well, what can I do? What do I need to become a tower of love? Why do I have to become a tower of love? And I want to answer those questions, because the listening audience deserves to have some answers. If they're waking up here on the West Coast at 8 a.m., and I know you were kind of like 3 hours ahead of time, they're up for a reason. So, Colonel, let's kind of segue into the show. Why do you think love is so important in what we see going on in our world today?
Well, Doc, I appreciate that. That's a great question. Love is important because we can't coexist as a human race without love. And let me just preface my additional remarks. I'm speaking as a minister, not from a law enforcement platform, but from a minister platform, wherein it's responsibility of the church to help save souls that are lost. And so the main commission is to go ye therefore, Matthew 28. So we speak of love, the love that is needed and the love that was established from the beginning is agape love, which is heavenly love, godly love, and it's unconditional love. The love that we embrace each other intimately is an eros love. That is conditional. As long as I feel good about you, I will show affection towards you. But if you make me angry, I don't feel good about you, I will not show affection. So the premise that we're missing on a ministerial point of view is the heavenly love, agape love, because God is love. And I'm sort of getting into it early on, because that is the heart, the matter, and that's why there's void. And without the fulfillment of that, of the recognition of a supreme being, we will always have a void, because we were made in the image of one who is love, who is God. So I'll pause, Doc.
Okay. Well, you know what? I like that. I know the listeners heard that the primary goal of the church or ministers is to save souls. I don't think we're talking about saving souls. You know, that's such a broad statement, and there's some issues among that, and I think I'm going to write that down so we could pick up on that later, saving us those. You know, there's a lot of people feel, I don't need to be, don't talk to me about, I need peace, I need happiness, but I don't want you to come at me like that. I have my church, I have my own pastor, so we're going to pick up on that later. As far as saving any souls, we're not talking about saving the souls. We're talking about becoming creatures of love because, and I believe what you said, and here we go again, back into the segue of faith, that our main goal is to love our neighbor as ourselves, and then to love, but we're not going to love our neighbors if we don't love ourselves. So we're not on a saving of a soul because that's a whole different topic with different belief systems on that. You would need a whole universe of time to talk about that because then you'd have to go straight into scripture. You'd have to talk about the one that sent his disciples out there. And but these were people, obviously, that loved themselves and they loved him as a follower. So right now we're trying to bring it home to practicality. For us, how can we become a tower of love? And the main question emphasis on the first word is make me. So we want to talk to our audience on how they can be made into a tower of love. And you came out again very good with the statement about we should be loving and we are created in love. That's fine. But what are some of the ways that a person can become a tower of love? If we can just stick to that, I think our listening audience is going to be very prosperous in love and prosperous because scripture says that. What are three of the ways, Colonel, that you might know of that will help me, you, someone else become a tower of love?
Sure. I offer these three, which is a follow-up to my initial comments. First, what I recommend is establish a relationship with the one who is love and who knew love from the beginning. The relationship has to be established with one who not only has power, but has the power of love and imparting love to others. So that's the first thing I say, establish a relationship with one who has the power of love.
Then when you say they should establish a relationship, how would one establish a relationship with the Creator who says, I am love, and when you put his finger hand out there and that dirt, dust, or whatever, man was formed, how can a person do that? How can they establish that kind of a relationship.
Sure, that's the second step, a second recommendation I have, Dr. Capitina. Seek a relationship with He who is the power of love and is love through prayer. Identify spiritual friends and a Bible-based church that emphasizes and stresses and teaches and show love, agape love, heavenly love. That's the second step that I recommend.
Okay, let me kind of stop on that second. You said that they should seek a relationship. How would they do that? And then you mentioned that they could do some of that through prayer. Some people I've heard say, I don't know how to pray, doctor. Can you pray for me? How can they do that? If they're supposed to seek a relationship, how would they, what steps would it take for them to establish a relationship? We're going to give these listening audience some good information this morning. If they're supposed to seek that relationship, how are they supposed to do it? How do you seek that kind of a relationship?
Through communication, Doc. We are the highest form of beings created, to my knowledge, my understanding of higher learning. We are the highest beings that created. We're created to communicate with one another. So we have to communicate with the supreme being, that being that's higher than man and woman. And through, and my medium of communicating with that being is through prayer. If one doesn't know how to pray, there's no particular form or fashion in prayer. It's just prayer. It's just a matter of having a talk with the supreme being as to things that you want to do. You want to change first within yourself so you can be open to love. And number two, you want to establish a relationship, one who can help you love. And number three, one who would give you a better understanding, not only of loving yourself, but to love others. So communication is the key. And if they, and the medium I use is prayer. And if they are uncomfortable using that medium of prayer, then go to someone else, some friend that has that shows love, that exhibit love, and have them intercede for you through conversation and through prayer. Prayer is universal. It has nothing to do with religious denomination or affiliation. It's just prayer is having a talk with a being that's higher than us, bigger than us, more universal than us, that we can tap into to help us find our true identity, and the essence of our true identity is the essence of the offspring of the Godhead, which is love.
Mm-hmm. So outside of prayer, because there's many that don't pray, and there's also many that don't believe in prayer, then if they say, I believe in prayer, well, who am I praying to? The Bible even says there's many gods, there's many lords. So to say that in order to become a tower of love, you're saying an individual has got to pray. Is that what you're telling the audience? They've got to pray.
First, I'm saying they got to learn a way of communicating. If they choose that prayer is not the medium, they got to find out some other way to communicate, because obviously they have a void and empty within self, so they got to find a way to communicate, whether it's through prayer or through a talk or interaction, interpersonal relationship with someone else, to tap into the resource of love. And the resource of love that I've tapped into, and my peer group have tapped into, is the Godhead. And so the kind of love that a person is looking for is unconditional. Conditional love is not going to fill their void, because it's based on emotions, it's based on feelings, and it's based on biases. So the unconditional love is that this Godhead will love us regardless of who we are, the way we are, what we have done, with no strings attached. And so that's the one that I have identified with, and my peer group has identified with. So I'm suggesting that they tap into someone who is spiritual, that has tapped into love, so they can help teach the one who wants to learn to love, desire to want to love, how to love. And so it begins. It begins like a baby. A baby first learns to crawl, then later that baby learns to take steps. I'll pause for a moment.
Okay. So you—that's what you and your peer group. Your peer group, I guess, is your minister friends, your church adherents, your church goers. But we're talking to a wider range than I would imagine you and your peer group. So you're telling the audience that in order to become a child of love, number one, they've got to pray. I think that's what you said. So prayer, I guess you're saying, is number one for someone that wants to become a child of love. We're talking about practical means, and we're not, as I say every week, this isn't a religious station, and I know you wear that hat, but we're talking in terms of what an average Joe Blow person can wake up in the morning and actually do. They're not going to wake up and say, well, I better pray so I can become a tower of love. There's other practical things that they've got to do. Number one, if they're living a life that is not coherent with what society, and who knows what that is now with society being so crazy, they are not going to wake up in the morning wondering how they can become a more loving person and say, oh, well, I'm going to pray. I think there's some other steps that our listeners are sort of waiting to hear, and that is on a day-to-day, night-to-night, minute-to-minute, second-to-second, hour-to-hour basis, what can I do? I would assume they would wake up and say, well, number one, you know, I can start treating my neighbor right. Definitely that would help them become a tower of love, a person of love, if you start treating your neighbor right, that sounds like to me something that the average person can actually do, whether he's in the church or not, whether he's in prison or not, whether he's walking the streets homeless or not. Anyone can wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to start treating my neighbor right and start looking out for others as I would look out for myself. That sounds like, to me, something more practical and something that is doing. Now, another thing, going on a person's job, treating their co-workers right, we're looking for practical ways to become a more loving person. Now, we can certainly pray, but again, that's taking us into another area. Well, how do I pray? Who do I pray to? How do I know my prayers are being heard? When we go that route, that's a whole different area. But what are some other ways, Pastor, Dr. Chief, that you think that can occur? I know, you know, you walk into church on Sunday, and I don't know if you go there as far as, okay, you know, how many love God? I'm going to show you, teach you how to love God. We're looking, especially our audience that tunes in, they're looking for more practical ways. What can they do on a day-to-day basis to become a more loving person? Because you can look out at the world and tell there's hardly any love left. So whatever ways and means that these people have already been taught, it is not working. It has not worked. These lofty ideas has not come down to the essence of the human heart. So there's got to be a more practical way. Say if I want to swim to Alaska, there's more than one way for me to swim to Alaska. But one thing that I do know, if I want to make it, I've got to have endurance, I've got to have inner strength, I've got to have resolute, I've had to rehearse and practice for years. So what are some down-home ways that a person can be made into a more loving person?
Before I became a minister, what I use is called self-examination or introspection. Introspection means self-examination. I look for the good that I had in me, which is very practical. Anyone can look and search for the good in themselves. We have good qualities and we have weak qualities. And the good qualities I build upon. And that helped me to feel good about myself, to feel better about myself. And I was able to lift my self-esteem. And each day that I thought about these qualities and I place emphasis on these good qualities, my strengths rather than my weaknesses, I was able to build an inner base of confidence, higher self-esteem, because it helped me to grow and begin to love myself based on the strengths and the strong attributes that I had. Rather than my weaknesses. So that's very practical. Everybody has good attributes. They have weak attributes, and they can examine themselves and find out what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are and just focus on their strengths. And they begin to, as they focus on those strengths, they begin to feel better about themselves and they'll build internal self-confidence within. And then I seek to find other people that felt good about themselves. And as I build that base and I build my peer group from a practical point of view with other people, I eventually was led into the arena of the church, which builds on love from a different point of view. But I started with self, and that is very practical, and anybody is capable of doing it. Whether they will do it or not, it's up to them. But anyone is capable of doing it as long as they have sound mind.
Yeah, they're capable, but we have millions that are not of a sound mind because the suicide rate has quadrupled in the last 3 years. So obviously everyone is not capable of doing that. You are a very strong person. You appear to be a very strong-willed person. Some people can't get up off the bed one day and decide, oh, I'm a good person, I'm a loving person, so, yeah, everything is all right. But with the suicide rate being what it is now, there's some kind of teaching or some training that honestly the people are not getting, because if that is the case, the suicide rate would not be what it is. Crime is up because people are thinking, you know what, I'm not really good enough. Nobody cares, so I'm going to go out and kill somebody. So there's millions of people that are not that strong that can just wake up and say, okay, well, I'm going to love myself. I'm going to seek out the good people. Yes, people that can't do that. So I'm wondering, since the topic rates show that people are murdering themselves, rich and poor, because somehow they can't find that inner source and inner strength. I think as lay people and ministers, we need to concentrate on that. What can we tell the listening audience about getting up in the morning and feeling good, and the sun is shining, and I have somewhere to go? You have millions of people don't have anywhere to go. You and I have a structured schedule. If the universe burst before our very eyes, you and I, and I'm just talking about you and I, we have a schedule. Most people don't have that schedule. They're not that strong. They don't have a degree. Some never graduated from college or the university. Some have been brought up in poverty all their life and are still facing it. These people are not going to wake up and say, well, okay, you know what, I'm going to act on my self-esteem, and I'm going to become great one day. That is not the American way. That's not the universal way. So for those people that are not strong as you, strong as myself, what can we tell them as a measure of hope? They might not even feel like waking up there in the morning. Do you think they feel like being a tower of love? What can you say to those people, not the strong ones, but those that are suffering and struggling emotionally, that are not strong enough just to wake up and say, okay, you know, I'm a big man, I can do this and that? What advice do you have for them, Colonel Harrison?
You made reference earlier, Doc, that a practical way, your first step practically was to love their neighbor. Well, the people who don't have the self-esteem, don't think they're capable, have the ability to examine self, then they have to tap into other people, whether it's their neighbor, whether it's a friend, whether it's a relative, whether it's a family member, and just have general conversation. It goes back to communication. They got to find someone that they have common grounds with, someone that they can talk to, they feel comfortable with, who can help lead them into finding their strengths, help show love, show kindness, show affection toward them, and they can draw strength, and they can draw love, and they can learn to draw affection from people that they interact with. So that goes back to your first step, love thy neighbor. Part of loving thy neighbor is also getting to know thy neighbor, befriending that neighbor, neighbor befriending them, and they can grow in understanding through communication with one another. And so that is a very practical mean that is open to anyone. Those who are sick, whether it's mental or otherwise, they hopefully, prayerfully, in time, they can seek clinicians and get medical help for that problem. But I'm talking about those of us who are sound mind. So go back using your analogy of the neighbor. That's another practical step that I build upon and shared with you.
Yeah, and I love that too. I think that's very practical, because all the statistics are showing that America is a lonely America, and I'm pretty sure that can extend. I think we sent something out from our firm, America the Lonely. People don't want to be bothered with each other. Not really. They got the cell phones. They got the texting phone. And all the statistics are saying that's the curse of a cell phone. No one wants to communicate. No one is communicating. If you call them on the phone, yeah, I can't talk. Text me. They are not really doing that. Going speaking. So we start to look into some other avenues, and, you know, I'm not hearing any. You know, and that's very, very sad, because without love, without people walking in love, without people talking about love, I'm not talking about the eroticism of love. You mentioned agape, there's philia, stoica, there's most of the theologians know the different kinds and types of love. But I think for the practical, hey, I just need to love myself more. How can I do that? So we mentioned here on the show this morning that you can seek out others that appear to be loving. You never know what's going on under the surface. You can also, I'm not going to say you can put into any institution, find love, because most ministers is not talking about love, and then if they talk about it, they can't show you how to come into the being of love. They can talk it, but they can't show it. Most don't walk it. So I'm thinking in terms of people wanting to become more loving so that they can become more God-like, more, as you might say as a minister, more Christ-like, because without love, the apostle said he is nothing. And I don't want to pull it right back into that religious arena, but if we're talking about love, we cannot help but not talk about the one who says he is love. Oh, my God, that's very lofty. So I think from the vantage point of our show, we want you, the listening audience, to know that in order to become powerful in love so that you can perhaps reach a neighbor that's suicidal, reach a neighbor or partner that's talking about wanting to do away with his life, wanting to talk about someone that's very depressed, saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just feel so terrible, so awful. Every day I wake up, it's something crazy. It is something new. What is the final roadblock to becoming a person of love, Colonel Harrison?
The final roadblock in becoming a person of love, they got to find the one who is the essence of love and the ultimate lover of the universe, and that is God. Whatever name they may call him, Allah, God, Jehovah, he is love, and they can draw on that. And you can find in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, 1 John chapter 4, 16. If just read those scriptures, they can draw on that, and it will help empower them. Whether they have a relationship or believe or not, they can become empowered by reading 1 John chapter 4.
That sounds wonderful. Now, for those that are not going to do that, they might say, I don't believe in the Bible. You know, I've been reading it. You know, I've been talking about it all my life. Ain't got nothing. Still in the same shape. I'm still walking in haste. My family's gone. What do you say to those that
attach themselves with a person, whether it be a neighbor or a group or an organization, that advocates love and advocates for those who need love, those who may be going through some type of depression or whatever. We got to connect with someone, because we are creative beings and we were created to communicate with one another. And that is where we find our niche. When we communicate with one another, we feel meaningful, we feel worthwhile, and eventually we find people like us and we start feeling good about ourselves, as well as the people feeling good having us around them, and we're around them in return.
Well, what if the stats show that people nowadays are more antisocial? They don't want to talk. They don't want to play on their cell phones and watch television. Hello? I hear a lot of static there. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Ask that question again, Doc.
Yeah, are you okay? There's a lot of static and talking in the background. Are you okay?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm out moving about a park this morning.
Okay.
I apologize.
No problem. It's only you can. Yeah, there's a lot of isolation, not just with the elderly, but even down to the millennials. There's a lot of isolation and a lot of people. So how effective do you think that might be, someone trying to get help from those that don't want to help, that don't have time to help, or that got other things going on in their life? Could you recommend from that vantage point?
Yeah. There's a passage of scripture that says, for the lack of knowledge, my people perish. Those who are able and capable have to connect with a person or a group of persons or an organization that can help them build their self-esteem. It's not about, this statement's not about religion. This is very practical that one can do. Those that need help, that's a different criteria. Medically, clinically, whatever, that's different. But those who are, most people are withdrawn, they are lonely and they isolate themselves. You just said, Doc, they got to become more interactive and tap into a resource, whether it's a person again or organization that they can start interacting with, because they're not going to be able to love themselves or no one else as long as they remain in isolation. So the key is communication with other people, other organizations, and other entities, and that's what most people do, whether they believe in God or not. Most people that are healthy and well in mind, that's what they do. They interact with one another.
Well, the mental health rates are into the millions. 1 in 4 is slated in America to be mentally ill. So a person that is mentally ill is not going to do that. They're going to sit around. They're going to wait to be helped. You know, there's a religious group, and since we were kind of hinting on religion, I want to say this. There's a religious group going around calling themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't wait for people to show up and come out and get up in a pew. They go straight to them to find out in their home what is going on. That's where you find mentally ill people, in the home. That's where you find people that don't know which way to turn to. They're just sitting, languishing on a sofa. That's where you find them at, in the home. So I'm kind of thinking that if a person just wakes up in the morning with no sense of will, partially mentally ill, they're not going to get up and say, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to go try to find me somebody to help. So if studies have shown they're not going to do it, and that's why here on the West Coast, the governor is setting up meetings by which mental health and other types of organizational leaderships in social services and civic, they're going to the home. They're going to the home. They're realizing people is just so out of it, even the drug. There's 21 million Americans on various types of drugs. So that shows very sad circumstances. It shows that they don't have the inner will to get up and help themselves. They're turning to drugs to kill the pain of isolation, being lonely, not having someone to love, to care about them. So I'm kind of thinking that we need to turn this thing around and say, well, if this is a problem, and I'm so this and I'm so that, I've been called to help people, then we need to follow the edict of Christ when he said, go ye therefore. He didn't say, go and sit down. He said, go ye therefore. So I'm thinking the mentally ill, the sad, the sick, and the lonely is not going to have that inner strength or inner will to, on their own, get up, put the clothes on and say, okay, I'm strong now. I'm going on him and get some help. So I think in making myself and you and others a tower of love, you're right, Colonel Harrison. You are right when you said that in order to become a tower of love, you've got to first love yourself. You really first got to love the Creator, who said he's the one behind it all as far as love is concerned, and then yourself. You need help to actually do it. A person needs help to actually do it. So on our next segment, we're going to talk about a person's lifestyle and what they can do in a practical manner to become not only a tower of love, but to become someone worthy of love. You got some people, some say Charles Manson wasn't capable, you know, the killer there, the debacle killer, that he was not worthy of love. But we're going to talk about what it means to be in love and how I can get in love and be accepted. So tune in next week, you guys. We thank our Colonel Harrison again for being on the show. Tune in next week. As you can see, we go deep. We don't stay on the surface. We don't bite our tongue. We go deep because we know this time we'll never get again. And we know if we don't, your blood is going to be on our hands for inaccurate information, information that we can't even put into use. So tune in next week, Dr. Cupertino Show, 8 a.m. Thank you again, Colonel Harrison, and I hope you jump back on. You are needed. Take care, you guys, and have a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you again, same time, same station, Dr. Cupertino Show.